Hey guys, Nate here from True Crime Cast to tell you more about June's Journey. It's one of my favorite sponsors of this show. I've been telling you about June's Journey for years, and I'm here to tell you about it again. It is one of my favorite games that I have downloaded on my phone. I downloaded it for free, and you can too today. June's Journey is a hidden object game with a captivating detective story about June Parker. And look, you don't often get this kind of detailed storytelling that you get in June's Journey on a mobile game, right? Usually when you have a mobile game, you think it's mindless, it's boring, that kind of thing. But no, in this game, you go back to the glamour of the 1920s with a wonderful cast of characters, and each new scene takes you further through this thrilling murder mystery about June's sister, and she's trying to solve this case and uncover her family's many secrets. I play this game when I wake up in the morning and I'm having my morning coffee. I play it before I go to bed and I'm winding down and I'm listening to my rain sounds and trying to get into that finally relaxed mood. This game does it all. Whether you're trying to start your day, end your day, maybe you have a little break during work, June's Journey is a great game for you. So can you crack the case? Find out by downloading June's Journey for free today on iOS or Android.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Stoveleg Media. Igniting conversation. This is True Crime Cast.
This is True Crime Cast. Jamie and John here. What's up?
Hey, man. I'm loving this Kentucky weather for the moment. It's probably going to get cold again, but I tell you what, we have a good case in front of us today.
We do, and we usually try to wait till the dust settles from a case in order to cover it, but I'm telling you, man. So we're talking about Alec Murdoch, and we'll get to all the meat and details of that in a few minutes, but there were documentaries that came out about this case before the trial ended. It's like we're almost to Minority Report levels of knowing what happens. Like it's a fast media schedule and we're trying to get with it.
Yeah. And man, this one will not disappoint. It's a tragic, just all around tragic, but a pretty interesting case. So I'm glad we have it in front of us.
Lots and lots of tragedy. Before we get started, I'd like to thank a few people for reviews over on Apple Podcasts. This one comes from Pretty Cool. P-E-R-T-Y. I like that. Great listen. Look forward to my Wednesday commute to work to listen to new episodes. Y'all do a fantastic job with the details of each case without all the gore. So if my boys are in the car, it doesn't scare them. Keep up the great work. This is from Eric Tanzi. That's the way you break it down. I love how they do not use emotion or theatrics to sway your feelings on the case. They present the facts as they see them and allow you, the listener, to make your own decision. Great show. And I think true crime fans, even before they hear us, have probably made their mind up about this case. But I wanted to kind of share our thoughts. I think there are so many details out there that things have gotten missed. And there's just some really good stuff in here to process. So I'm excited to talk about it. Without further ado, John, why don't you go ahead and get us rolling?
All right. Well, unless you've been living under a rock, you've probably heard about the Murdoch murders in South Carolina. So this story will take place in Hampton County. It's a southern part of the state known as the Low Country. And I don't know, almost reminds me of like Louisiana, like almost Cajun kind of culture is kind of how I view it. But
I feel that.
But that's why you see the name and you think it's pronounced Murdoch. I know that when I read it and I hear it, it's two totally things in my head, right? Two totally different things. But the accent in this area has the name pronounced Murdoch. And that's also why you've probably seen the main character's name written as Alex, but down there they pronounce it Alec. So Jamie and I have not had strokes. We're going to keep in time with the culture down there and go by Alec Murdaugh.
Murdaugh.
Dang it. Even I messed it up.
So when I watch documentaries on this case, it's scene to scene people pronouncing it differently. The pronunciation of these names may be the biggest mystery of the entire case. But let's go Alec right. Murdaugh.
All right. I'm probably going to say both. So just Lord forgive me.
That's all. This family has been a prominent fixture in this area for over 100 years. And, you know, I think of the area I grew up in, and they're just those last names that mean something, right? Like, these people have been prominent in business and or politics, and you know not to mess with that family.
Yep. I can think of one from my area, and I know yours is Bennett.
Yeah, like, it was made famous in Justified, the TV show with Tim Oliphant. They brought the Bennetts to TV. Show. Yeah, it was. That's really the name that people watch out for because of the coal business.
My dad worked for the Bennetts.
Absolutely. So in Hampton County, it's the Murdaughs. Since 1920, three generations of Murdaugh men have presided as solicitors, which may not be what you think it is. It's really what we call prosecutors. So the government's attorneys. And that's been in the 14th Judicial Court in South Carolina. They've also gained quite a fortune from their private family law firm. And that law firm continues to exist today. Let's talk about the weird circumstances about how it got started.
All right. Take you back to a dark night in July of 1940, when Randolph Murdaugh Sr. was on his way home from a poker game when his car stopped on railroad tracks. News reports at the time say the train driver claimed Randolph raised his hand and waved at an oncoming train, but did not move out of the way. So the train hit the 52-year-old and killed him instantly. After his death, Randolph's son, Buster, sued the railroad. Now, the case settled, and that was really the start of the Murdaugh's family business. And decades later, the Peters, Murdaugh, Parker, Ellsroth, and Dietrich law firm became known as the place for personal injury cases.
So, around here, that's the Hammer.
Yeah, in Kentucky, and he's famous on TikTok now, we have Daryl Isaacs, the heavy hitter, which he's not heavy anymore. He used to be a really big guy. He's lost a ton of weight, but he still uses the name the Hammer.
Yeah, you're in a car accident, you slip and fall at Walmart, burn yourself on coffee, call Daryl, and he'll make you rich. And that's kind of the vibe I get here. It's almost like, I don't want to insult them because they are helping people who deserve settlements, but they're also taking cases that maybe aren't on the up and up. So it's almost like the used car salesman of claims attorneys. I don't know. Maybe that's unfair, but that's...
Well, they have a stigma, right? They're sleazy because they're, you know, they take advantage of misfortune.
Yeah.
You know?
And the Murdaughs got super rich doing this.
So there was a loophole in South Carolina law saying that anyone that sued a company that owned a company or did business in Hampton County could have their case heard there, even if the injury happened somewhere else in South Carolina. That seems to me to be a conflict of interest, because let's say this accident happened 400 miles away, but because the injured person lives in Hampton County, they get to have their case there. Almost seems like you need to have that trial where the situation happened.
It's like taking your referees to ball games with you.
Exactly.
It's a lot of home cooking.
So it was so well known that Hampton County was where you went to win a personal injury case that Walmart canceled plans in the early 2000s to build a store in Hampton County in order to avoid getting sued. That's how well known this was, that the corporate managers at Walmart decided, we're not going there. We'll lose money because of personal injury suits.
If anybody can afford to get sued, it's Walmart. So if this is a problem for them, it's got to be a problem for everybody, I would think.
So this law firm, you know, I said their name a little bit ago. It's several last names. We're going to call them PMPED, which really close to pimped.
Yeah. And wow, it is. Yeah. That's missing one letter. That's a great analogy.
If
as well.
I ever say pimped in this story, just know I'm referring to a law firm.
I love it.
But anyway, they became the personal injury lawsuit factory. They were just cranking these out.
Randolph Sr. was the OG, the original, serving as the 14th Circuit solicitor for over 20 years and founding the law firm that's grown to be PMPED. Then Randolph Jr., who went by Buster, took over his father's role for 46 years. When Buster retired, his son, Randolph Murdoch III, was elected and served until 2006. So being the lead prosecutor in Hampton County became a family business, which, again, doesn't feel on the up and up. So Randolph III had a son named Alec Murdoch who never ran for solicitor, but he did work in the family law firm and served as a volunteer prosecutor right up until September of 2022. Alec was married to Maggie Murdoch, and they had two boys, Buster and Paul. They love keeping the names of the family going in this. Buster was known to be a really smart kid, got good grades, eventually got into the University of South Carolina Law School, which is really successful and prominently known law school. He seemed primed to take over after his father and be the fifth generation of Murdoch attorneys. Buster was often referred to as the favorite. And then there was Paul.
Yeah.
Paul had been described as an entitled rich kid. He was allegedly disrespectful and often relied on his family's name to get out of trouble.
You can watch the Netflix series about this case, and I mean, that is exactly how I would describe this kid.
According to many people, Alec and Maggie turned a blind eye to their son's behavior, simply calling him the troublemaker. It doesn't seem like they dismissed him. It seems like they genuinely loved on him, but it's one of those situations where he was allowed to run wild. They gave him a cooler of beer for him and his friends when he was underage. And by the time he was 19, his friends could recognize when he was drunk because they said it was like he became a different person. They even named drunk Paul and they called him Timmy. They would say, all right, Timmy's here. We got to go. And we'll get back to Timmy in a little bit. But if you have like a drunken alter ego that's known for being hateful and mean, it's not a good setup when you're entitled and prone to getting away with things.
I mean, and like, just watching this series, man, like not only is it a mental change and flip and switch with him, but it's a physical change. Like his body movements become different. Like
it's like Jekyll and Hyde.
He is interesting for sure.
Or maybe Hyde and Hyde.
There have been several incidents that have surrounded the Murdoch family over the last 8 to 10 years. And some of those have been tied to the family with facts and others are simply rumors. On July 8th, 2015, 19-year-old nursing student Stephen Smith was found lying in the middle of a rural road not far from the Murdoch property, and he was dead from blunt force trauma to the head. Now, Stephen's yellow Chevy was discovered 3 miles from his body. The car's gas cap was unscrewed, and Stephen's wallet was inside. Initially, police said it looked like Stephen had car trouble, was walking for help, and then got hit by a car. However, the scene did not support this story. There was no broken headlight glass at the scene. Steven's phone was still intact and his shoes were still on. And like, this is kind of morbid, I guess, but when you get hit by a car, it's pretty typical that your shoes fly off because just the force of that happening knocks your shoes off.
Yeah. And it usually, like it said, leaves some sort of glass or evidence that there was a hit and run, maybe some brake marks, but there was none of that.
Most cars nowadays are made of plastic. There was no broken anything at the scene from a car.
Rumors ran around Hampton County for years that this murder was connected to the Murdochs. Stephen was a loud and very proud gay man in a small rural community. And the story went that he and Buster had potentially had a romantic relationship that they were keeping secret. As police interviewed people in the community about the incident, Buster's name continued to be brought up about being in a relationship with Stephen, and this would have been a scandal even in the last 10 years in this small town in South Carolina. This wouldn't have been something that was readily accepted by the community.
Definitely a place that's not keeping up with the times, right?
As far as we know, police never questioned Buster about the night of this incident, never asked him where he was, never asked him about his relationship with Stephen, and the case quickly grew cold.
Well, just this month, March of 2023, Stephen's mother opened a GoFundMe page in order to raise money to exhume Stephen's body in order to perform an independent autopsy. She believes that Stephen deserves a new, unbiased look at his body and an accurate determination of his cause of death based on facts. There was no debris in the road, and his injuries were not consistent with a hit and run. An independent autopsy costs about $7,000. An independent medical examiner costs about $750 an hour. Man, I am in the wrong line of work.
Right?
I mean, I don't know that I could do it, though.
Yeah, same.
All in all, to exhume the body privately and autopsies can range from $3,000 to $7,000. So the GoFundMe set a goal for $15,000 to cover costs. Dude, it raised $44,140.
That'll do it.
I mean, this case is so well known across the nation and really the world that, you know, they more than doubled their goal.
And this is really the first time that Stephen's story has been told publicly for the world to know about this. So people certainly stepped up to try and help.
There's also a hashtag Standing for Stephen movement for justice and support for LGBTQ teens. And they helped to erect a memorial for Stephen at his grave. Just a few weeks after the murders of Maggie and Paul Murdoch, so spoiler alert, that's kind of where we're heading. That was the primary driving force of this saga, and South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, SLED, reopened the case of the death of Stephen Smith.
So it seems like these things happened, and there were all kinds of rumors, and now that we're getting down to brass tacks with this trial that just happened, they're starting to take a harder look at the things that came before. And we're going to take a break and come back with yet another saga of something that happened with the Murdoch family.
Hey guys, Nate here from True Crime Cast to tell you more about June's Journey. It's one of my favorite sponsors of this show. I've been telling you about June's Journey for years, and I'm here to tell you about it again. It is one of my favorite games that I have downloaded on my phone. I downloaded it for free, and you can too today. June's Journey is a hidden object game with a captivating detective story about June Parker. And look, you don't often get this kind of detailed storytelling that you get in June's Journey on a mobile game, right? Usually when you have a mobile game, you think it's mindless, it's boring, that kind of thing. But no, in this game, you go back to the glamour of the 1920s with a wonderful cast of characters, and each new scene takes you further through this thrilling murder mystery about June's sister, and she's trying to solve this case and uncover her family's many secrets. I play this game when I wake up in the morning and I'm having my morning coffee. I play it before I go to bed and I'm winding down and I'm listening to my rain sounds and trying to get into that finally relaxed mood. This game does it all. Whether you're trying to start your day, end your day, maybe you have a little break during work, June's Journey is a great game for you. So can you crack the case? Find out by downloading June's Journey for free today on iOS or Android.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So we know that the case into the death of Stephen Smith has been reopened, and their SLED, which is a great acronym for any operation. Yeah,
we've had some interesting ones, pimped and SLED today.
Yeah, it's been a good acronym day.
It's not pimped, really. It's whatever.
PMPED. But just a few weeks after they reopened the case of the death of Stephen Smith, police started looking into another case that led them right back to the doorstep of the Murdochs, quite literally. This was the death of Gloria Satterfield, which took place in 2018. Gloria worked as the Murdochs' housekeeper and acted as a nanny to both Paul and Buster. She worked for the family for more than 20 years, and in February of 2018, when Gloria allegedly tripped over the family dogs and fell onto the brick stairs in front of the house, it caused kind of a ruckus in the community again that pointed fingers back at the Murdochs. She had severe head injuries and ended up dying in the hospital several weeks later. Strangely, the coroner was never notified about her death, and no autopsy was ever done. Gloria's death was listed as natural, which doesn't even coincide with an accidental fall.
Yeah, natural in my mind means that she suffered some kind of, you know, health, like freak health episode, a heart attack, stroke. But, you know, I think the cause of death, even if it was an accidental death, should have been listed as accidental death.
I agree with you. We're going to listen to the 911 call that happened after Gloria fell. The first clip is going to be Maggie Murdoch, and the second one is going to be Paul Murdoch. And we'll process it a little after, but certainly intriguing in my point of view. So let's take a listen to that.
My housekeeper has fallen and her head is bleeding. I cannot get her up.
Okay, you said she's fallen. She's bleeding from the head?
Yes.
Okay. How old is she?
I'm not sure, like 58 maybe.
Do you know if she fell from standing or not?
No. No.
Where'd she fall from?
She fell going up the steps, up the brick steps.
Okay, so she outside or inside?
Outside.
Okay. How many steps is there?
Eight.
Okay, is she on the ground or is she up near the top?
She's on the ground.
Is she conscious?
No, not really.
Is she awake at all?
Yes.
Okay. Is she just not, like, responding appropriately, but she is awake?
Man, she's not, no, she's not responding.
Okay, I've already got them on the way. Me asking questions does not slow them down, ma'am. Can you ask the patient what kind of pain she's having?
Ma'am, she can't talk.
Okay, do you know...
She's cracked her head and there's blood on the concrete and she's bleeding out of her left ear.
Okay, she's bleeding out of her ear?
And out of her head. She's cracked her skull.
Okay. All right, the other lady said that she had tried to stand up and fell down again?
No, I was holding her up. And
okay.
She told me to turn her loose and she was trying to use her arm, but then she fell back over.
Okay, do you guys know who she is?
Yes, she works for us.
Okay, do you know if she's ever had a stroke or anything before?
Ma'am, can you stop asking her to stroke?
I already have them on the way. Me asking questions does not slow them down in any way.
All right, John. So, obviously, I skipped a little bit in the middle. At some point, Maggie wanted to go away and check on Gloria, so she handed the phone, which I don't think was a cell phone, oddly, to Paul. During the questioning there, you actually said out loud, man, that's a lot of questions.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people will look at this, and especially the sentence where he said, ma'am, can you stop asking all these questions? And use that to point at, well, they're guilty of something because they don't want to answer questions. Like, in a moment like that, if I put myself in their shoes and this genuinely was an accident, I don't care about answering all your questions. I want to get her the help she needs, and I want those people, the ambulance, to be here as fast as they can. And we don't know how the 911 system works, or I don't, you know? So, like, by you asking me all these questions, shouldn't you be talking to the ambulance, seeing where they are? Like,
yeah,
I don't
so,
know. It's not a situation where I want to sit down and, like, talk about how many steps I have. Like, who knows that? Who knows? And she answered quickly.
I have two.
Well, I mean, that's...
I'm just kidding. Yeah, so I'm glad you took that stance because I think it needs to be looked at fairly and you can't just assume, hey, they're snippy on the call, so they had to have something to do with this. You could hear early on that Maggie was frustrated when she had to answer like every question. There were sighs and toe changes. So I thought this was interesting for that reason. And a lot of people do point back to this to say, you know what? They didn't seem to care about Gloria. But I think to your point, it's not fair to make that assessment based on these conversations are based on the questions. I would think if you're trying to cover something up, you would be overly polite.
Yeah.
So
That's true. I don't want to just take that one phone call and make a determination. And like, think about if one of our kids were hurt or our wives were hurt, you know, I'm not going to want to have a conversation with you about all of these things. I mean, I understand I need to answer her current state. Is she conscious or unconscious? But
you're going to want to be by her side too.
Absolutely.
So that is tough. I agree, but I wanted to share it so that we could process a bit and allow our listeners to make their own interpretation.
All right. So after Gloria's funeral, Alec approached Gloria's two adult sons. They were Tony and Brian, and he told them to sue him so they could get money for her death. And he said that he wanted to take care of them. But he didn't want to pay him out of his pocket. He wanted to be sued so that his insurance could pay for it.
Yep. So this seems like a selfless offer on the surface, but I don't think it was.
Yeah. Alec introduced the two men to a lawyer that he recommended and that they would represent the boys in the case. The boys did not know that lawyer. His name was Corey Fleming, was a close friend of Alec. Now, Fleming had been Alec's college roommate and his godfather to his sons. So that lawyer was able to reach a settlement with Alec's insurance company totaling $4.3 million. And they were supposed to send $2.8 million to Gloria's sons. Jamie, like, why would that all that money not go to Gloria's sons? Like, what was the rest of that money for?
Yeah, I was trying to think of that. And I guess some could go to medical bills, the ambulance ride, cover the cost of people coming out to check it out, any investigative work or attorney fees. I'm sure some of that went to the attorney. So I would say medical bills and attorney fees, but $1.5 million seems like a lot for that.
Tony and Brian did not get any of the money. Alec took every penny. And he did nothing when the bank foreclosed on Brian's home. At the time, Brian, who was a cognitively impaired adult, had been working at a grocery store making about $14,000 a year. And Alec just completely disregarded the court order to give $2.8 million to Gloria's sons.
I don't want to gloss over, like, yes, he kept the money, which is awful. But he also watched Brian lose his home while he owed him almost $3 million.
Gloria was someone who worked for the family for over 20 years. Jamie, I don't know about you, but like when I hire a babysitter to come in for a few hours, I feel like they're part of my family because I trust them to watch my kids. Gloria was not only their housekeeper, she was a nanny to his sons. So for him to just have no regard whatsoever for her or her boys, that's more of a damning situation than this phone call ever was.
Yeah, it's certainly a character issue there that's highlighted in this situation. And in October of 2021, the police arrested Alec on charges related to these missing settlement funds. This time they arrested him while he was at a rehab center in Florida, because of course this case had to include Florida, right? By June of 2022, Alec admitted that he owed Gloria's sons the full settlement plus lawyer's fees.
Can we go back to what was he doing at a rehab center in Orlando, Florida?
We'll dig into that a little more later on, but he basically claimed an opioid addiction was a reason for a lot of the problems that caused his behavior. So I realize that that's something that people struggle with, and it does cause you to make decisions you wouldn't if you weren't hooked on the drugs, but he lays a lot of things that he does wrong on this addiction, and he checked into rehab. Some people say it was just for appearances, and some say he was really addicted, but that's why he was there. And we'll talk more about that addiction a little later on. That same month, police announced that they plan to exhume Gloria's body for further investigation. The Murdaugh family says they don't think that any foul play was involved and that it was an accident, but they admit that Alec did take that opportunity to make money, which is absolutely disgusting.
Sounds like if you have an opioid problem, you need a lot of money, right?
That's what it sounds like.
All right, so now let's get back to Paul Murdaugh and his alter ego, Timmy. All right, so this is Alec's son, Paul Murdaugh. And Timmy allegedly came out on February 23rd, 2019. So on that night, Paul and his friends decided to do what teenagers do. They were going to spend the evening drinking, having fun. The group went to an oyster roast near Pookie Island on the Murdoch family boat. So Paul got increasingly intoxicated, but insisted on driving the boat home. Paul got back on the boat, and with him were several people. First off, Paul's girlfriend, Morgan, was on the boat. Then Miley. There was Miley's boyfriend, Connor. And then Connor's cousin, Anthony, and Anthony's girlfriend, Mallory Beach. All right, so they were all just good friends hanging out. On the way home, Paul made them all stop at a waterfront bar where he went in, ordered two rounds of shots while his friends waited in the boat. Paul came back on the boat and began driving the boat erratically. Now, Connor tried to take the wheel of the boat several times, but Paul would not let him, except for the moments that he fought with his girlfriend and actually slapped his girlfriend in front of everybody. So this was a tense boat ride home.
Yeah, they were certainly not comfortable with Paul driving, but he was aggressive. He was Timmy and not letting anybody help out.
He would say, like, when they would say, Paul, let us drive. He's like, no, this is my boat. I know this river. And there were times where he would just step away from the wheel and just leave the boat running. You know, you can do that on open water, yeah. But this is a river. It's not like a lake where you have tons of room.
Yeah, not as much room for error. And around 2:20 a.m. on February 24th of 2019, the boat was speeding through the river when it hit some bridge pilings before running up onto the nearest bank. Now, if you're going at a high speed, I mean, think about riding a bicycle and then running into a concrete wall with your front tire. Like, it's a jolt. It throws people everywhere. Three of them were thrown into the cold water. Two of them made it to shore, but they could not find 19-year-old Mallory Beach. Four of the teens were taken to the hospital. Paul was so drunk that even while police were talking to him and they were trying to take him to the hospital, they had to tie him down to the stretcher because he was so out of control. He was erratic. He was laughing. And at one point, he was hitting on the nurses who were trying to treat him. Complete disengagement from what was actually happening. You can find that 911 call online. It's fairly standard. I don't know that he said anything that's incriminating or otherwise, but we do have a clip from body cam footage of Anthony, who was Paul's best friend, also Mallory's boyfriend, and he was missing Mallory. They didn't know where she was, and he saw Paul's behavior, and he's reacting to that. Now, I am going to warn you, there's some really, really strong language in here. So prepare yourself for that language. But I think it's important to hear what Anthony had to say.
Bro, you fucking smiling like it's fucking funny.
Sit down.
My fucking girlfriend's gone, bro.
Sit down.
You think it's fucking funny?
Sit down.
Hope he's right fucking hell.
Sit down.
Is somebody putting him in the car? The one with the towel?
Go ahead.
Chichester Island.
The only island on Chichester.
Yeah.
Y'all know Alec Murdoch?
Oh, yeah, I know that name.
That's his son.
That's so driving the boat.
Good luck.
I think that's pretty indicating right there for Anthony to say, this is Murdoch's son. Good luck. Because they went on in this is like a 16-minute video to talk about if he was driving, he will be held accountable. So yeah. He's saying, yeah, not this guy, man. So from his point of view, this is his friend. And obviously he's saying some really strong words toward him and his behavior.
Well, his girlfriend is gone, you know? She's everybody in the boat made it out except for her.
Yeah. So he's not happy, and he knows that Paul's not going to be held accountable for this. As drunk and belligerent as he was never given a field sobriety test. He was never given a breathalyzer test. So they can't prove that he was drunk at the time. Many people blame this on the family's close ties to law enforcement. Officers did come to Paul's room to get a statement about the incident when his father and grandfather burst in. Randolph III said, I'm his lawyer starting now. He isn't giving any statements. And Randolph stood watch, and Alec started wandering around the hospital talking to the other survivors of this boat wreck. One witness described as Alec looking like he was trying to orchestrate something while they're still looking for Mallory Beach. But he's going around, I guess, trying to get everybody to get their story straight so that Paul won't get in trouble. So not a good look for them to kind of attack the scene and really kind of control the narrative around this boat crash that seems to be Paul's fault and resulted in a missing Mallory.
So there was a hospital employee who claimed they heard Alex warning Connor Cook not to say anything. Alec allegedly told Connor everything was going to be all right and that Connor needed to keep his mouth shut and tell them he didn't know who was driving the boat. So it became pretty clear that Alec was trying to pin the boat driving on Connor. Again, Jamie, this is while police are on the river searching for Mallory Beach's body. Only thing Alec cares about is trying to get his son out of trouble.
Yep.
Right? So it took a week of parents not knowing what happened to Mallory, of their friends not knowing what happened. But after a week, the body of Mallory Beach was eventually discovered in a marsh about 3 miles from the crash. Jamie, when Anthony was swimming in the water, he said the current was just ferocious. So it swept her more than 3 miles away. All the other teenagers testified with near certainty that Paul was the one driving and crashed the boat. On April 18th, Paul was charged with 3 crimes, including boating under the influence, resulting in death. He pled not guilty and was released on a $50,000 bond. He was never handcuffed or officially processed. As bailiffs went to take Paul away, his father and grandfather intervened. Paul was never in jail. Even his mugshot was taken in the hallway before he was immediately released, and he was dressed in, you know, nice court clothes, so it didn't look like a traditional mugshot.
Yeah, they certainly were taking care of him and trying to prevent anything from happening. There was a civil suit that was filed.
I want to process this a little bit more. Like, sure. There were so many awful things about the boat crash and what Alec orchestrated after that. So not only was he trying to pin all this on Connor, but, you know, it wasn't a traditional crime scene that you would think of had you or I murdered someone on a boat or had an accidental death on a boat. The Murdochs were allowed, no family member of Mallory was allowed near the water, but the Murdochs were allowed to go get their boat and bring it back home, even though it was part of a crime scene. So they treated it like a crime scene when it came to Mallory's family, but the Murdochs had full control of the situation.
Yeah, there was really no evidence gathered. Like I said, they didn't do any testing on Paul. It was obvious that there was a control and a power dynamic here for the Murdoch family. Eventually, Mallory's family did file a civil suit against the Murdochs for $10 million for the wrongful death of Mallory Beach. The next hearing date for that case was scheduled to be mid-June of 2021. They were going to go over some injunctions that had been filed, and it looked like they had a great case to get that $10 million settlement. But that hearing never happened. In fact, Paul Murdoch didn't live long enough to see that happen. Paul and his mother, Maggie, were murdered by gunshots on June 7th of 2021. And next week, we're going to dive into the details of that murder and that crime scene, the results of the impending trial, and take a look at the Murdoch saga as a whole. So this is going to be a two-parter. There's so much Murdoch mystery to happen that we want to make sure that we cover all of it. So, John, so far, not a good look for this family. And I also want to say that aside from this civil suit that was scheduled to take place, the deaths of Gloria Satterfield and Stephen Smith weren't even being investigated until Paul and Maggie were killed. So the case we're going to talk about next week really precipitated a further investigation into these other crimes.
Guys, we appreciate you listening each and every week. We hope you come back next week for part 2 of this saga. Don't forget, if you want some more True Crime Cast, this weekend we'll be dropping a new Patreon episode for the month of April. So for as little as $3 a month, you can have access to that episode, as well as our entire backlog and early weekly content and ad-free.
We also don't talk about this a lot, but supporting our sponsors is a great way to help the show too. Any ad that you hear Nate, John, or myself read, direct responses to those are noted, and that helps keep the lights on here.
Guys, we appreciate you all. And until next crime, this has been True Crime Cast.
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation. Hey guys, Nate here from True Crime Cast to tell you more about June's Journey. It's one of my favorite sponsors of this show. I've been telling you about June's Journey for years, and I'm here to tell you about it again. It is one of my favorite games that I have downloaded on my phone. I downloaded it for free, and you can too today. June's Journey is a hidden object game with a captivating detective story about June Parker. And look, you don't often get this kind of detailed storytelling that you get in June's Journey on a mobile game, right? Usually when you have a mobile game, you think it's mindless, it's boring, that kind of thing. But no, in this game, you go back to the glamour of the 1920s with a wonderful cast of characters, and each new scene takes you further through this thrilling murder mystery about June's sister, and she's trying to solve this case and uncover her family's many secrets. I play this game when I wake up in the morning and I'm having my morning coffee. I play it before I go to bed and I'm winding down and I'm listening to my rain sounds and trying to get into that finally relaxed mood. This game does it all. Whether you're trying to start your day, end your day, maybe you have a little break during work, June's Journey is a great game for you. So can you crack the case? Find out by downloading June's Journey for free today on iOS or Android.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.